listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
And welcome to Castrol CarCast. Get it on, man. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on, Mandy. Get it on. Madam Carolla, it's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, over there.
Hello.
Lots to talk about in the car world. We've been busy in that world. Thanks to Castrol Titanium Strong for sponsoring the show, and Geico at geico.com, Wrangler at wrangler.com, and Zybar at Zycote.com. We'll talk to you all about that in a moment or two.
Yeah.
So much going on. We were down at the, where were we last Saturday?
We were at Orange County Fairgrounds.
Yeah, that was the Fairgrounds, Costa Mesa.
Yeah, I've marveled. It was a nice event with nice people.
The classic auto show. That's where we were.
But there's a thing that always vexes me when it comes to these live events that I've spoken quite candidly on the air about, which is I played a million theaters and I've rocked them all. And I'm always a little confused when I show up, like when the show says 8 o'clock. Yeah. And by the way, my partner in crime is Mike August. Like if the hotel is a 10-minute walk from the venue.
Yeah.
And I'll say to Mike, what time's the show? I'll go, 8 o'clock. I'll go, how long's the walk? I'll go, 10 minutes. I'll go, all right, I'll see you in the lobby at 7:45. And he goes, okay.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't go, well, we should get to the theater a little. He just goes, see you then.
Yeah.
And he does it every time. And I do it every time. And then every time we walk. And then inevitably we show up at the theater at 8:03. And then at some point we walk around the back and everything's locked. And then at some point Mike calls the guy who runs the venue and he goes, where are you? And the guy goes, I'm at home, or I'm doing coke in the penthouse or something. And then he goes, well, we can't get in. And then the guy goes, well, where are you? And we go, we're in the back of the building of the artist's entrance. Oh, Tim, you go down to the back. Well, you're in the back. Yeah, we're in the back. We're in the parking lot. We're in the artist entrance. Oh, okay. Tim, go down to the back and open the door.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Tim gets $12 an hour. I don't know why Tim wasn't standing outside with like a walkie-talkie.
This isn't the first time they've done an event there. It's a theater. They do an event 3 nights a week, every week.
It happens a lot. And so we were going to the classic car show in Orange County.
Yeah.
And our thing was we were supposed to show up for a ribbon cutting and a Q&A, whatever, that was going to take place at 10:45.
Right.
So they said, show up at 9:30.
Right.
And I said what I always say in a respectful way, which is, what's the first thing we're doing? And they go, ribbon cut. Right. 10:45.
We asked them, I see 10:45. I see you get there at 9. What do you have planned between 9:30 and 10:45?
And like, if you say nothing. Meet and greet, I'm all for it. But if you go, no, we just need you there before the thing, then I do what I always do, which is I shall be there before 9:45. I don't know how much before 9:45. Yeah. Oh, sorry, 10:45.
Yeah.
I will be there before then.
Right.
And then you will be fine. And whether I'm there an hour and 15 minutes before that time or 30 seconds before that time, it'll make no never mind, because that's when the train is leaving.
Yeah.
I will be on the train.
Yeah.
So I then do a move where I say to Matt, Porcelain Punisher Fondelier, not bad Matt.
No.
Just other Matt. I mean, not good Matt. You're good Matt. But other Matt. I say, let's do a like ways in the future. Let's pop ahead to Saturday morning. We'll put it in my house, we'll put it in Orange County Fairgrounds. How long is it going to take? And he does it's going to take an hour straight up.
Yeah.
So I say, well, okay, Matt, meet me in my house at 9:30. I'll we'll make our way out to the. What do you got there? Oh, you got an Alpha.
Yeah, Alpha Stelvio.
We'll make our way out to the Alpha Stelvio, and we'll be wheels up by 9:35, 9:40, and then we'll take an hour to get there. And we're going good.
We'll get in the carpool lane. We'll scoot around pretty fast.
Yeah, we'll make up a little time on that hour.
Yeah, we'll cut 5-6 minutes off.
But right when we're getting off, what freeway was it?
That's a good question. We took...
I don't know, the 60 or whatever it is. For anyone listening, it's a funny freeway. I forgot about it. I haven't been on it in a million years. It ends. It's one of those freeways that ends. And our job is to get off on the last exit before the freeway ends.
Yeah.
And Matt's got the phone hooked up to the nav and everything. And right before the last exit, the phone rings and it's the guys at the event going, "Where are you?"
Yeah.
And Matt's like, Matt doesn't listen to me. I tell Matt, moments away, moments away. That's what they say in show business. It's vague enough. Yeah. It doesn't hold. Okay. When you go, "Oh, we're there. We'll be there soon." That means like 20 minutes to them, you know?
Okay.
So I tell Matt twice, moments away. And then Matt goes, "We'll be there soon." And then he hangs up. And I said, "Matt, what happened to the moments part?"
Yeah.
But you didn't absorb that. And we fly right past our off ramp. And now we're in a big, long line of people because the freeway's ended.
Yeah.
And now we're going to have to turn around and go back, get back on the freeway. We've just added 8 minutes to this thing where we would have nailed the dead nuts on.
Yeah, because when they called, it shuts the ways off the phone. You can't see the directions now.
So the people
knew exactly when they were going to call. It was right when we needed to see ways.
The people that are worried about you getting there on time actually made you 10 minutes late because they cut the ways up.
Yeah.
No, it's not their fault.
No, but it's just a goofy way of...
So then you get off the freeway and you go find the Orange County Fairgrounds. Mm-hmm. And if the people you're communicating with said, "Gate 5, turn right when you get off the freeway and go counterclockwise. Otherwise, you're going to go all the way around the thing." But they don't say that. They just go, "Gate 5. And then you go, "Okay." And now you go the long way around. You go, "Oh, there's gate 1. And then you go another half mile. And you go, "There's gate 2. Now, if you'd gone right and gone counterclockwise, it's a big square.
Yeah.
You've got to gate 5. They could have included that in their conversation, but they did not. So you go around, you go gate 1, and turn right to gate 2, gate 3, going all the way around. At some point, you go gate 3, and you go, "Okay, we're coming up on the right here." And then it goes gate 4.5.
Yeah.
4.5.
We're getting close.
Getting close. Go past gate 4.5. No gate, gate 7.
Right.
So then we stop the car, and now we're starting to get into a little bit of a late zone, and we go, "Wait a minute, gate 5? Then you turn around again and go, "Okay, there's gate 4.5, that's gate 7.
Yeah.
What's in between gate 4.5 and gate 7? Answer, nothing.
A cone.
A cone. No, there's nothing labeled gate 5.
Right.
Then you turn around and you go into gate 4.5 because that's the closest to 5.
Yeah.
And then the guy's like, "What?" And then you're like, "I'm doing the show." And they're like, "Oh, yeah, I know you." And then you're like, "Where do we park?" And they're like,
"Whatever you want.
I don't know. That way." And then now it's 10:45 is now the time that the show starts. And then you get out of the car and you start calling people and they're like, "Where are you?" And it's like, "I don't know, guy with walkie-talkie. Why aren't you just by the gate? Why aren't you standing by the gate?"
Yeah, where do you think we are? We're right where we park the car. Like, you've been here since 4 a.m. the night before. You should know the lay of the land.
There is no gate 5. There is no gate 5.
They were like, "What?"
Then we get out of the car, and they're like, "Where are you?" Like, "We're by the gate. We're at the parking lot." Like, okay. I'll hold on. The guy comes. We're waiting around. The guy doesn't find us. Matt sees the guy.
I see a guy with a walkie-talkie.
A guy with a walkie-talkie, like, walking past us. Here's my thing, Max Zapata. How was this going to work in their mind? How does it work?
How did this play out?
Gave us a gate that doesn't exist, and then you have nobody by the gate.
In their mind, they were, show up an hour and 45 minutes early and roam the campus until we find them.
So Matt flags the guy down because he's just wandering around. If that guy was by the gate, this would be an easy putt. But now it's just a throng of people, and he's wandering around, and Matt flags him down. And then the gal shows up, and then Matt and I go, hey, look, I don't know who else is showing up at gate five, but there is no gate five. And then you get this one, which I always like, which is, they'll be pulling into gate five. And then you go, listen to me. There's no gate five.
There's no gate five.
There's no gate five. There's gate four and a half. And then it goes to seven. There's no five. And then they go, we'll put someone by gate five or something. And you go, no. No gate five.
Right.
No. It doesn't. There's no mark. There's no mark. And then even when we left, we were like, let's see.
Yeah.
Let's just make sure.
Nah. There's nothing there. By the way, gate five, all the other gates had like a permanent sign, like a street sign. Gate one, turn here. Gate five was a foam core cutout, right? And it was four and a half, where it should have been five. I said, hey, you could just go out there with a Sharpie and write a giant five on that thing and problem solved, right? Because you made the sign.
It's a little...
So who made four and a half?
It's kind of insane. And also, every human being who you've instructed to go to gate five to enter is going to go past gate four and a half because... the next one should be five.
Yeah.
And then they'll keep driving, and then they'll come upon gate seven, and then they'll stop, and they'll wonder if they missed gate five. And then they'll have to turn around like we did.
Yeah.
It's a weird one, right?
It was weird. But that's
I was Grand Marshal, by the way. Like, I wasn't the guy who, hey, man, we're out of corn dogs. Where's that guy? That wasn't me. I was Grand Marshal. They still didn't have a guy by the gate.
No.
They didn't have anyone knew we were showing up.
Also, it also got like a little weird because we called them, where are you? We got out of the car, we parked, we're in front of the McGuire's trailer. And there was nobody in front of the McGuire's trailer other than us. And we literally saw the guy with the walkie-talkie roaming around, not seeing us standing there. We're the only two people standing there other than people working at McGuire's. So I'm like, hey, with the walkie-talkie, are you whatever the guy's name is? He's like, yeah. I was like, we're the guys. We're the band.
We're the good old boys band.
That's us.
It's a good event. But I'm always curious about that part. Like, also, when they call you.
The event always goes well. Just getting into every event is a shit show.
When they call you and you go, you're supposed to say moments away, but when you go, oh, we're just getting off the freeway. We'll be there in a few. We'll be there. That's your opportunity to dispatch guy with walkie-talkie. You just got off the phone. The person said, we're getting off the freeway. Like, we're up the street. Okay. Hey, Mark, with the walkie-talkie? Yeah. Go to gate, supposed to be five, but we marked it four and a half. Go there. These guys, and that's your opportunity to go, what car are you driving?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm driving Alfa Romeo. What color is it? Red. Okay. We'll have the guy waiting for you there. And then there'll be a guy standing there, not you pull up and they go, what?
Right. This is not beyond his job description. You know he's got instruction or a sheet of paper that says 10:45, bring Corolla to the ribbon cutting, right?
Grand Marshal. The Grand Marshal of the event.
There couldn't be a higher position.
Don't get me wrong. Don't get it twisted, kids.
Like, you saw
it's
promos.
Not about respect or anything. I don't care. It's more about how you run your event, what you expect to happen. What I'm saying is you called Matt at 10:40.
Right.
And presumably you called Matt because you were like, where's the Grand Marshal?
Right.
Right?
Well, why did you? I'm standing out here. Where are you?
Why did you call Matt? Why would you call Matt as the coordinator for the event at 10:40? Well, the reason you would call Matt is because you'd be a little bit worried. You'd be like, hey, we're doing a ribbon cutting in 5 minutes. Where's our Grand Marshal? He's with you. Where are you? So what motivates the call is I need this thing. So once you get off the phone with Matt and Matt goes, oh, we're just pulling off the freeway. We'll be there in a second. Because you're motivated to find the Grand Marshal, your next move is hang up phone. Hey, guy with walkie-talkie, go to the gate and wait for these guys. They're pulling up any second. Not hang up the phone, and then we get in, and then we wander around a little bit, and then we call them, and we go, where are you? And they go, where are you? And we go, we're standing in front of the McGuire's truck. Oh, okay. Yeah. We'll send someone out that way. And then that guy doesn't find us. Why did they call you is what I'm saying.
I have no idea.
I have this weird, it's a new thing, but like human beings, what do you want? If you want the Grand Marshal to your event, then call Matt and put guy by gate.
Yeah.
Don't just call Matt.
It's pretty easy.
It's kind of easy.
It's kind of easy.
Also, probably stop saying gate 5.
Yeah, that as you, well.
You've marked it 4.5.
Like if the guy walked out there, he would have been like, go to 4.5. Apparently it says 4.5.
Yes.
He would have figured that out.
Weird. Anyway, good event, good cars, good people. That part is vexing to me.
Oh, we saw Wayne Carini out there and Dave Kindig and
Mark Borman. Yeah, from Graveyard Cars.
And Mark, you guys heard Mark, he called in this week with the show with Goldberg.
He knows Mopar.
He does know Mopar.
Man, does he know Mopar. All right.
He's a nice guy. I like talking with him. He's a really sweet guy.
Well, I got an interesting thought about him. I'll tell you. First, I'll tell you about Castrol Edge. Stronger, under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure to keep the metal apart and fight power-robbing friction. Unlock exhilarating performance 3 times, fool.
3 times, fool.
3 times stronger than leading full synthetic. Against viscosity breakdown, it is Castrol Edge formulated in ways to exceed the toughest industry standard.
Yeah.
I have a theory about Mark Borman.
All right.
Every other dude in the car world is Gentile, and they are dudes, like white trash dudes. And white trash dudes, you know, kind of like your Jesse James and stuff like that, like those kind of dudes, they're kind of hard. They're not real chatty. And the only thing they bring is a kind of badass attitude to everything, but they don't bring like comedy and a chatty nature.
Right.
So Mark Warman is a Jewish, I believe. Now we can look it up. But the thing about it is there's a million car shows out there, and there's only one where the guy's goofing off and cracking wise and making dumb conversation. And by the way, like referencing weird science and other movies from the 80s and songs from the 80s and doing that whole chatty thing. And that's Mark Warman.
Yeah.
Everyone else is like kind of the worst is the guy from like Restoration Garage.
Yeah.
He's the guy who's always like super angry. And he's like, you went out there with drum brakes and one shoe missing. You could have killed me. Like, that's all he does is explain to people what's wrong with their car in a super earnest, like, over-the-top, scary stepdad kind of way.
Yeah.
Like, and he, like, sits down with the couple, and he's like, you wanted a coat of paint and some new rims? It's a lot deeper than that. You have serious issues, and that's going to cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's going to take time. And I don't know if I can do it. And then they go to commercial.
Yeah.
Mark Warman is like,
car. This isn't your kid.
Yeah. So everyone tries to bring their retarded gravitas to their situation. Mark actually yucks it up.
Yeah.
He screws around with the guys he works with, screws around with his daughter. Not in a sexual way, obviously.
No.
I'm saying he yucks it up. And it's funny. His name is Warman. Possible Jew. And I think about that.
Poor and Chris then is Googling, is Mark Warman a Jew?
I also think about, look, you want to know the clown prince of pornography? Ron Jeremy.
Yeah.
Only Jew in pornography. And the guy never stops talking. Who talks less, male porn stars or guys who restore cars?
Yeah.
And the point is there's two chatty ones in that industry.
Yeah. Neither one of them should talk.
So is Mark Warman. Now, he seems like that may be his heritage, but Mark can be Jewish. Warman, W-R-M-A-N, I guess, can be Jewish.
Now,
and he's very chatty, but he likes Mopar, so this is a little confusing.
So all signs point to Jewish because of what Adam just said. There actually is nothing online that says if he's Jewish or not, but there is a site that says Warman is a Jewish last name. So
okay, well, that'll
take
work.
That, yeah.
All right. Well, it leads us in the direction of right.
Well, the reason Goldberg is having him do is kudos because he ran into him at Temple.
Yeah.
So that could be a clue.
Goldberg, those two bust each other's chops all the time.
Well, Warman is like, again, whatever goes along with Jewish, it's sort of chatty and warm and funny and like not harsh or edgy, but yeah, sort of bust your chops a little bit and talky and like making references to stuff that has nothing to do with cars, old, you know, 80s movies and songs and stuff like that. That's who he is.
He's realistic about what he's doing for a living. He's working on cars. Come on. He's
right.
He's having some fun with it. It's a nice job. He's got some good clients. He's got 30 cars in his shop. He's like, I'll get to it when I get to it. You know, he's
become the go-to guy for Mopar, and so you want him to do your car. The other guy, it's a picture of me.
He knows every nut and bolt on those.
You're looking at a picture, Chris? Could be Jewish.
Oh, yeah.
Also, fan of his, also...
What he said about you too was that when you guys were talking, he says people come up to him all the time and say, love the show, but you actually brought up specific examples of the show, so he knew that you were the real
deal. First of all, he said, Adam, who's a big star, came up to me and said, hey, Mark, big fan, which he loved and was surprised. And then he said that you referenced episodes of the show, so it wasn't a line of bullshit. He's like, he really does watch the show. And I was like, yeah, he does. He watches the show. And he loved that. He was talking about it for a while or earlier this week.
I'm a fan. And again, everybody, I'm not a Mopar guy, but I'm a knows-his-shit guy.
You're
and
a Warman
he knows
fan.
His shit. And I will respect anyone who knows their business. This is my thing, sort of. The counter argument to the put the guy by the gate. My beef isn't, hey, His Highness is coming in and I need to. It's like, you're not doing your job right.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. There's something wrong with the way you're doing your job. Or there's Mark and his Mopar. I'm not interested in the product. I'm interested in the process. See the way I did the P alliteration there?
Yeah.
I like that.
I will. I'll tell you something. You know when you know something about cars? And then it always, things bump you when you're watching like car shows because they put the wrong picture.
Yes.
Of the wrong car.
Yes.
Because what they do is the person that knows nothing about cars, like Nate or Brian or whoever over at the other side of the shop, they're the person in charge of going online and getting the pictures and slugging them in.
Yeah.
You're the person who knows it. So I was watching
Rensport, WREN.
Nate made a whole binder, like a whole deck,
completely different event
presentation of WREN. And then when I said to Nate, "Why did you do that?" He's like, "That's what the internet said." Like,
no, it didn't. No, there's no way.
It doesn't say that.
There's no way it said that.
So I will tell you, there's a new show called Autobiography. And it's an interesting show to me because it finds these cars and it digs into the mystery behind the car and blah, blah, blah. And I was watching the one with Bruce Meyer's 935.
Yeah, you were telling me about it. I haven't seen it yet. I got to go back and watch
it. It's a show that is interesting and it's very... you have to be interested in the subject matter, but if you're interested in the subject matter, it's interesting, especially if you own the other car that was in the race against Bruce Meyer's car, the Whittington brothers, and blah, blah, blah. But they did this one thing, and you'll recognize it immediately, and it always bothers me, and I'll tell you why. First, I'll tell you about Zyco DIY, high-temp, resin-based, polymer coating. That's right. Zycote. This stuff is great, man. Reduces radiant heat by 90%, one-third of the cost of ceramic. Yeah, not only the cost of ceramic, but you got to wait on ceramic. Yeah. I mean, God knows when you get that stuff back. Anyway, there is no insulation wrap, none of that. This stuff looks great. It works great. They got a special formula. Increase the rate of exhaust gases passing through, so you do the inside of the header. And it slicks it up, and the exhaust actually lowers the temps, but the exhaust pushes through at a higher rate. And it lowers the lowers the surface temps because it's not, it's like moving the pot off the burner.
Yeah.
Moving it, blowing.
Moves the heat out of the exhaust as opposed to just through the metal.
Right.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's coating for your headers, manifolds, exhaust system. Zybar increases horsepower and performance. CarCast listeners can get a 15% discount, free shipping on all your online orders. Just enter promo code CarCast when you purchase Zycoat.com. Zycoat.com. So this will be one of the things that is going to bug you. It wouldn't bug many others. But they're talking about the 935. They're talking about the Whittingtons.
Yeah.
They're talking about winning at Le Mans and then bringing the 935 back and bringing it to the 24 hours of Daytona because they raced that car as well. That's the part where they hid the nitrous bottle in sort of the floorboard, and not the floorboard, but the heater kind of rocker,
yeah,
like the inside of the rocker,
yeah,
whatever rocker. Tunnel, whatever they hit a bottle in.
Yeah.
And they did. Now I get when they're making one of these things, they show like a guy with a screwdriver undoing a screw and removing a panel to like expose the, but that's not how they did it.
Right.
But either way, I get it. It's like artistic license. And then they go, they also ran the car to 24 hours of Daytona, and then they show a picture of Daytona and the bank at Daytona and the cars on Daytona, but they're all stock cars.
Yeah.
So they got a picture from Daytona. Their picture was from the Daytona 500.
Yeah, yeah.
This 935 ran at the 24 hours of Daytona with zero stock cars.
Right.
So you're showing the wrong race.
Yeah.
Now, somebody was told, go get me a picture of Daytona.
Yes.
Give me a picture of cars on Daytona, and you had nothing but 80s stock cars, which all look exactly the same.
Yeah.
Now, if you'd done the 24 hours of Daytona in 1981, you'd have 935s, you'd have Jags, you'd have Datsuns, you'd have everything.
Yeah.
And it would look like the 24 hours of Daytona, not Daytona. The stock car
somebody
race.
Somebody said, get me Daytona 1980 or 81, and you got a stock
right.
car race.
And also, it's a little confusing because we just did 20 minutes on the 935.
Yeah.
And you just showed me a picture that had 11 cars in it, and they're all Gran Torinos. There's nothing that resembled a 935.
And it's not even the right type of race. So
right. So if I was looking at that, I'd go, why did they run that there?
Yeah.
Where there's a bunch of American muscle cars.
Who in the process is should notice it first, and then how many people does it go through before the buck stops with, how does it make it on the air?
I would blame everyone all the time, except for then people would blame me. They'd go, why are you playing that stupid Gennaro rock over the sound of that sweet 935 motor spooling up? And I'd go, I don't know. I've told Nate not to do it 11 times.
Yeah, this is your film, buddy. This is your show.
Yeah, and then I would have to eat it because I would have to eat it like they would have to eat it, which is at least... Now, maybe I doubt they would tell me that I told them like I do. Like I go to the other shop and go, I don't want any chitty chitty bang bang cars. I don't want any generic rock. You understand? Got it. And then I leave. And then when we look at the presentation in Sharon Levy's office, it's chitty chitty bang bang cars with generic rock blaring over it.
Yeah.
But at least I'm on record. Max Pata, what's my batting average for shit I asked for? In the mid-40s, low-40s, high-30s, low-40s. Well, what's my batting average on stuff I've asked for multiple times?
If you have 40, to ask...
Like 40-something percent?
Maybe
like when
less.
I make declarations like, no generic rock, it looks amateurish and we look like assholes. Does that work?
Oh, of course not.
Okay. So maybe we shouldn't blame the guys?
Yeah, I mean, it's not their fault.
But all I'm saying is you're showing a 935 over and over and over again. You're breaking down the car. Like you're going, they're doing that stupid graphic thing like Kremer 935.
Yeah.
Switch from water to air cooler, intercooler to air to air intercooler. They're like showing the car a thousand different ways. And then you show a picture of a stock car race.
Yeah.
There's nothing that resembles your car in that race. And you're going, and then it went on to do the 24 Hours of Daytona. And then you show a picture of cars that don't exist in that race.
You don't, if you're in the editing booth and you're working, like, let's say your whole career was cooking shows, and you're doing this, the auto show, you're seeing the 935. You're seeing the car, you're getting familiar with it. Like, where do you lose that? At what point in the chain do you like, I've been staring at this thing for weeks on end editing this, and now I've got a bunch of stock cars that look nothing like.
I don't know. Max Bat, I'm going to ask you, how bad is everyone at their job? Like, what's wrong?
I mean,
like, what do I have to do? Like, make 9 doppelgangers of myself to follow everyone around all the time? Because I think that's the only solution here, right?
Yeah.
The here's what I don't want and here's what we can't have is not going to get it done.
It's so weird.
It's weird,
and
right?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You can find, maybe you can find the episode of, what do I keep calling it? Or you keep calling it autobiography.
Autobiography.
And it's fun. I like watching it. And they did Hitler's 6-wheel G-Wagon. They did, speaking of Mark Werman, when they did that, when Mercedes does the 6-wheel G-Wagon, isn't that a little anti-Semitic? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's kind of Hitler's ride.
Yeah, it's kind of Hitler's ride.
I can't really blame you on the 4-wheel stuff because everyone did that. But 6-wheel? It's kind of Hitler's thing. Who's got the balls to get one of those 6-wheel G-Wagons to take the roof off and then just stand up while they drive it, while someone drives them around? Don't bring that shit to Werman's
place. I don't
really
like the 6x6. Remember, it was at Barrett Jackson. It was like one of two cars that had a reserve on it. Just how the deal was like a Carrera GT and a 6x6. It's like $1 million truck.
What the Dixie flag is to the black man, that is to the Jew. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Look, they're both made by Mercedes. They both have 6 wheels.
All right.
What
I'm going to tell you guys about Wranglers, Mark Werman's favorite pair of jeans.
Yeah.
You listen this week, he'll tell you all about it. Everyone has a favorite pair of jeans that fit perfect and always look great. No one knows this better than Wrangler and Werman. Wrangler jeans are made for the modern day adventurers. Whether you ride a bike, a bronc, or a skateboard, these are the jeans for you. They have classic and modern styles and a range of fits and a price that works for you as well. Plus, they have vintage re-releases. Those are the ones I kind of like. If you visit Wrangler.com, you can check out their great selection of jeans, shirts, pants, and outerwear for both men and women. So the Wrangler is new styles. They have great fits. Wrangler's real comfortable jeans. Check them out. Go to Wrangler.com.
Wrangler.com. Yeah. All right. Let's see. You went to the NASCAR race.
I did. It was kind of it was an interesting deal. We got invited down to do this VIP experience. I imagine that they sell this package to some people. Like, you can go down there and go early and you buy these tickets for something. But I got invited to go with a couple
friends. I have to intervene very quickly because it literally forced me to say to my dad, I literally said to his face, what country do you come from? Do you come from the United States? Like, I went to my dad's house in Altadena on Sunday at like 1 in the afternoon.
All right.
And he's like, hey, I saw it on TV, a TV commercial for this car race out there in Montana.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. Are you doing that? I said, no. He said, oh. Ugh. I was like, that's a professional stock. That's NASCAR.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's been around for a minute. It's pretty famous.
Do you do that?
Yeah.
I'm like, no. I drive vintage cars and an occasional Trans Am. Those are stock cars. Yeah. A professional circuit.
And I don't know at this point. Is that him trying to be like, I listen to you. You like cars and maybe you're doing it? Or is it just more of this sleight of hand, like insulting kind of like, I know it's not you.
How should I take that answer?
Like, I don't know which way.
By the way, I'm doing the car in about 20 minutes, so I got to wrap this up.
Yeah. I'm here. I'm at your place. Like, what do you think?
I'll do testing, qualifying, then I'll get back in my street clothes and hang out with you for a while now, Tatina. And then the race is not going to start for a good 40 minutes. I'll be in Fontana by 30 at gate 4.5.
Gate 4.5 in no time.
I literally said to my dad, like, and he's like, So you're not doing the race? I'm like, no, there's professional NASCAR. It's a big sport. It's a big it's a professional. These guys make millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I don't know. And I just went, what country do you live in?
Right.
Like, I didn't know what else to say other than what country do you live in?
Well.
Okay.
How did this even get on his radar?
I don't know. But
is it in the newspaper?
He literally, look, here's what happened.
Is there newspapers?
I guarantee his wife was like watching TV. He passed by the TV, heard cars, the sound of a car, like looked down and they said, NASCAR this weekend, Fontana. And he just walked in the next room.
Yeah.
And then I was standing there and he was like, hey, that you? It's a good thing he didn't see a tampon commercial. You on your period?
Yeah. Is that you?
By the way, so Max Pata, is this less interested or more interested than his normal state?
You know, honestly, it's more interested because the fact that he even asked you about it is crazy to me. The fact that he brought it up and asked you about racing is nuts to me.
Well, I think there's a part of him that's like, I know this guy loves racing. I know I've taken an oath not to be interested in anything he's interested in. But now that I'm old, I think I can fake it for a second.
Yeah.
And I'll just say I saw this thing.
I don't even know if it's that much thought. I was more like, Adam's coming over. I should probably say something to him.
Well, I don't know how far ahead he thinks of this. But in my head, it was, oh, I know Adam's not in that race. So I'm just going to ask him about it, get the points for asking. He's going to say no, and then we move
on. It's weird.
Adam's coming over, and he's probably going to want to talk.
I just go, no, Dad. It's a professional circuit. Like, you'd have to quit your job and go on literally be on the road half the year. And he could follow it up with, okay, but what racing do you do?
Yeah. No.
So you went out there. I mean, you left at some ungodly hour.
Yeah, it was an early morning. We met in downtown LA at about 7, and we got a group of about a dozen really cool cars, RWB Porsche, Audi R8, and Aston Martin.
Wait, which Porsche?
RWB is that big, crazy, wide-body kit on late-model Porsches. Max Pedal fine. It's RWB is just really over the top.
I gotta tell you,
not my favorite. But
as a guy with a 935, I shouldn't be saying anything, but giant fixed wing that says Porsche on the back.
Yeah,
it's a little much for the street application.
I even put some photos up
for me.
I put some photos.
We're talking about big vents on fenders and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And I don't know about the vent. It more of, you know, the flare kits that have kind of like the bolt pattern, like you'd see on trucks. It looks
like
it's the big flare kits.
No, they have those.
They're very popular.
They have those.
They're kind of cool. Like from the back, I was behind it on the freeway. It looked kind of cool. But
they'll have that on like the 510 flares. Like the front will be molded in and the rear will be popped
on. Yeah, but this one's really over
the
top.
No, they're huge. Yeah, but I'm saying, they show you the pattern.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So we went out there and they had us all park in like this lot. And then later when I left, the parking attendant was like, are you in the race? Why does this group have an entire parking lot fenced and there's only 12 cars in it? Could fit 50 cars. And we're like, I don't know. Just, this is where they told us to park. Like, it was a nice treat for that.
Right.
So we went in, and then somebody from Auto Club Speedway sort of escorted us around, took us on the track, took us to some of the pit areas, to the hot pits, and swung by one of the drivers, and he came out, and a young driver came out and gave a speech about, hey, this is what I'm doing. Anybody have any questions? Check out the car. Then we went over and checked out the Toyota Supra pace car.
Mm-hmm.
Which the guy from Toyota didn't know anything about. Nothing.
Back to today's theme.
Nothing at all. Everybody in our group,
naturally aspirated.
Yeah, he was like, it's 3 liter, it's naturally aspirated, and like it was, I don't know, he just didn't know anything about this car. It was weird, but
it's got a twin turbo, so it's hard.
It's
you couldn't
turbo,
get much
it's,
further away I, oh, from naturally aspirated.
And I was like, it's straight six. He's like, well, it's inline six. I was like, all right.
It's like saying motor and engine.
Yeah,
I mean, in a car that has a Hemi in it. You know, it's got what size is the motor? It's an engine. Like, it's like, it's the
I get it. Like, he read some sheet that says inline six, and I was going maybe a little bit more older school with the straight six terminology.
Yeah.
It's a cool car, and I talked to you on the phone about it, and then somebody else pointed out, like, on Instagram, and I said, the problem maybe is because they called it a Supra. Now, I think there's brand equity and that's good, but so many people compare it to the Supra and all this legacy and whatever. It's never going to live up to it. But is it a cool car for $50,000? Is it a cool sports car? I think it will be.
Well, especially, I think I was talking to you and Dave about this.
David Jusko.
He works for Toyota, has a Supra, blah, blah, blah. I said, I think a Supra went for like 173.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was like, oh, this one went for like 140 or something. And I was like, I think this one went for like 173. And that may have been Amelia Island.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if it was RM. I can't remember which one it was at. But I mean, one.
Yeah.
We're essentially all in $175 turbo Supra. That's mind-numbing for anyone who sort of remembers those cars.
And there was one, I think he was thinking about one on like Bring a Trailer that was, I don't know, 120-something.
Yeah, but this is essentially 175 for a Supra.
Money.
And then, of course, David did this, so I won't make too much fun of him. But everyone then tells you it's a good car. Like they go, oh, that's low mileage. Yeah. And I go, no shit.
No, we know that part.
I know we didn't pull it up from a lake. Like, I get it. It's nice. It's good. Yeah. It's a good one. It's a good example of a Supra because that's why it was $100,000 more
than the most expensive one ever. It's
right. I know it's good. But they'll tell you, 5-speed. Yeah. Like I go like I know. It's a good one. But still, $172 and change or $173. I don't know, Max Pata, he can look. I'll tell you about that. Could have been Gooding, could have been RM.
Sorry, we were watching the autobiography show trying to find that.
It's about twenty minutes in. Now, don't expect Kalen to find what we're talking about either.
Which episode do you remember? Was it the Daytona
Which episode was it?
The latest one?
I didn't watch it.
Yeah, this was Hitler, and Hitler took a 6-wheel car onto Daytona, and Hitler entered his 6-wheel Kugelwagen in the 24 hours of Daytona in 1981. Now, Hitler wasn't driving. Bruce Meyer, 935, Porsche, Le Mans winner, 81 Daytona.
There's a whole Daytona episode, so we thought, and that's the newest one, so that's why we went to that one.
Okay. This one is the 935.
Okay. Yeah, we got it. Okay. All right.
That Toyota Supra, it was black over tan. It was Amelia Island at RM, 11,200 miles.
Which is not no miles. I mean, let me say this about that. It's a low mile car, but it's not this has traveled 4 miles and still has all the plastic covers on the seats.
The estimate was 100,000 to 120,000. It sold all in 173,600.
All right. So I was way off, but I'm just gonna make that $175 for a Supra.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And it's over 10,000 miles. I mean, it's not a no mileage car. It's a low mileage car. Very interesting. All right, let me tell you about Castrol Edge. Strong or under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure to keep metal parts from rubbing on each other and robbing you of performance. 3 times stronger, Matt.
Mm-hmm. 3 times, fool.
3 times, fool, stronger. Then leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. It is, and they did a 5W30 viscosity grade. It's a Castrol Edge formulated in ways to exceed the toughest industry standards. It is the best. It's Castrol Edge. Has the Daytona one aired yet?
I don't know, but it's online. We had a sign up for Motor Trend.
They're doing it online. I don't think it's aired on their channel yet.
Oh, sometimes they post stuff online first.
I think that's what's going on. But if I'm talking about it, I saw it on TV from 2 weeks ago or whatever.
Okay.
But anyway, your hint will be a lot of 935 Whittington Brothers talk.
Such a small hint, though.
So if you see Hitler's name in there, no.
We didn't look. We didn't touch the Hitler.
Okay. Didn't touch the Hitler.
For what it's worth.
Yeah. What is the Daytona one about?
Just like the Daytona Coupe.
No.
Yeah, it's like hidden race cars,
the Dodge Daytona Coupe.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
all right, if you hear any words that start with a D, it may not be what we're talking about. That's a car. Daytona.
No, but they talk about Daytona as well.
Oh, okay.
And like it being in Daytona. Yeah, and
but
that, so.
Ironically, that would be one that would run the Daytona, the 500 miles, Daytona 500. Anyway. All right.
Anyway.
They will find this probably about 18 minutes into the 935 one.
Yeah, we're scrubbing through right now.
Yeah.
All right, you find it. I'll tell you guys about Geico.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off your dry cleaning, you pick up some milk, and now you can add, save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list. You don't have to pick up or drop off anything. If you just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Check out geico.com.
All right. So you saw some celebrities.
We did. And Sum 41, the band was playing as well. And part of the experience was we go backstage and kind of watch from over there. And that was kind of fun. It was very loud. Mm-hmm. And then we watched the whole opening ceremonies for the race. We saw it on the track. So we're standing like right there in front of the little stage where all the drivers come out. For some reason, they brought Motley Crue out to promote this movie. I think it's on Netflix.
You know who the biggest celebrity of that whole place was?
Oh, you tell me.
Lead singer, Sum 41.
Yeah? He wasn't physically the biggest. He's got to be about my height.
Biggest in your mind.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh.
You know why?
Yes, because he used to be married to Avril Lavigne.
That's right.
It's funny because I
she's
walked
the
up.
The greatest woman alive.
We walked up and we were backstage. I was backstage with a couple of younger people. And I was like, you know Avril Lavigne? You know Avril Lavigne? You know Avril Lavigne?
The best.
And they're like, yeah, I've heard of her. I was like, he used to hit that.
Yeah, man.
They're like, what? I was like, that's the guy right there.
That's what makes him the biggest celebrity. Yeah. There.
Yeah.
Yeah. When is that Motley Crue movie coming
out? It's got to come out soon. And the small world, I was trying to figure out like, Motley Crue came out, and these other guys came out, and there's this guy, Machine Gun Kelly, who came out. And I was like, why is he there with Motley Crue?
Oh, he's like a producer?
He's like a rap guy, but he was in Bird Box.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, he was in Chris Morgan's film, Bird Box.
I'm going to have drinks with Chris Morgan tomorrow.
And then I found out that Machine Gun Kelly plays Tommy Lee in the movie.
Oh yeah, that
you know, and,
that makes
and you
sense.
See them, and they're both you know
yeah, yeah.
with the
very
the tall
angular,
and
thin guys.
And,
yeah.
and I was like, why are they so buddy buddy? I was like, how do they even know each other? Then I sort of did the math on the whole thing, and then after all all of that stuff, they brought us up to a suite to watch the race, and then all of Motley Crue
who
came in.
Won
and,
the race?
Yeah, I don't
we'll
recall.
Figure it
I
out.
Yeah, I didn't stay for the
all
whole
right.
thing. It was a long day. Anyway,
I don't
Tommy
think
Lee
we're
going to
find
hello.
That picture because we're looking at further. Through the Barry Dino episode. No, we haven't gotten to that. Okay. But you know, Max,
I'll just
saying.
Put the whole episode up if you want
to
just tell
okay
me scrub
to
through.
Ask. You can go, what episode was it? Don't just look through random. That's going to be it's a picture that lasts for a second.
Yeah.
And if you're going to look through 4 1-hour episodes for it, you'd be better off just chiming in.
I know that now.
Lesson learned.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's 12
we'll just
minutes
drag it up.
In.
I thought we found a picture of your car. Was it before or after that?
I think it was after. Well, I'll give you another hint. It's about them talking, bringing the car back and racing at Daytona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's okay. a lot of talking.
Okay. Anyway. All right. I got live shows all over the place. You can go to amcrola.com/events. I think I have a stand-up special out as well. And you can get that at Chassis, not Taco Bell material. Get that at chassy.com and Amazon and iTunes and all that stuff. We're doing it grassroots, so thanks for the support. Shift and Steer, available on iTunes and Podcast One as well. And again, live shows all over the place. Go to amcrol.com for that. Until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.